The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number 2. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send a message. And if Aaron likes it, he will read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of Texans, and then a little talk about college football jobs. And we'll get to some of the action from there a little bit later in the show.
Well, I tweeted out earlier today the potential betting lines for possible playoff matchups.
Yes.
And I asked people to make their favorite play. Here's some of the numbers for these potential playoff matchups.
Okay.
And how about we do this? You just give me your Insta reaction, which side you would be on.
Okay.
Ohio State minus 8.5 versus Utah.
Ohio State.
Ohio State minus 10 versus Oklahoma.
Ohio State.
Ohio State minus 17 versus Baylor.
Ohio State.
Clemson minus 4 versus LSU.
Ooh. I would have thought LSU would be favored there.
Just so you know, Vegas power rankings,
yeah.
Clemson is the number one team.
Doesn't surprise
Clemson's
me.
Minus 1 against The Ohio State University.
I would bet I'd get a better number because I think there'll be a lot of LSU money, but I'd probably lean Clemson there.
Clemson minus 1 versus Ohio State.
Ooh. I think I like Ohio State.
LSU minus 5.5 versus Utah.
LSU.
LSU minus 7 versus Oklahoma.
LSU.
Okay. So I gather the same from you that I gathered from most people. People don't like Utah.
Well, it's not that I don't like Utah. I just don't think they're as good as LSU, Clemson, or Ohio State.
Yeah. Well, in general, well, against the number, even people right. are like, oh, that's crazy. They're not.
Well, it's not crazy. I mean, I think those numbers are about right. You're just asking me which side I would take.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's some interesting lines here for the weekend already, and I don't want to get too far ahead.
For college football?
For college football.
The Georgia-LSU game can swing a lot of those numbers, because if Georgia wins, it changes up a lot of power ranking numbers.
Right, right. Which I still think that Georgia has a very good chance to win this game.
I do, too.
And the number's 7.5 right now.
Although Georgia losing their receiver for the first
half. And their running back's banged up. I mean,
Bozo.
That was just dumb. Especially against Georgia Tech. What the hell are you doing? And I think that's
in a game you're winning by like 100.
Yeah, and I think that's why the line has moved so much. It's LSU minus 7.5 right now. I think it's going to go up higher. And if it does, I'll probably be on Georgia. The other line I'm watching real close is it was at 10.5 and now it's 9.5. Is I like Cincinnati against Memphis quite a bit. I know Memphis beat them by 10 last week, but Cincinnati actually played with them really well. Memphis had to get a trick play for a touchdown. They had to get a kick return for a touchdown. And Cincinnati might get their quarterback. He might be back. So I'm looking at that one. And I think I'm going to take whatever Ohio State winds up at. I'm taking Ohio State.
Well, Utah opened at minus 3. And by the time I could get money on it, it was minus 6.
6.5 right now.
6.5 now. I think under 7, you're probably
good. Yeah, I still like Utah under 7.
I think my concern there is weather. Apparently, it's going to rain every single day in San Francisco between now and then.
Shocker.
So it's going to be a damp field, which makes me also sort of lean to an underplay on that. But, some of those numbers, when they popped up, I was like, really? That's what we're going with.
Yeah.
21.5. Clemson 21.5 was the opener.
Now it's, what, 28?
It's at 29 now. I mean,
I might give the 29 points.
I think the interesting one is this Baylor-Oklahoma line.
Agreed.
And 9 points. 9-point Oklahoma favorite. I don't know which side I want to be on.
I don't trust either one.
I really don't. Now, Baylor did inspire a little confidence in me last week.
Yeah.
Because they could have easily just sleepwalked through that game, and they didn't. So I'm a little bit – I'm kind of leaning towards Baylor, but I don't know if 9 points is enough. I mean, the second half of that game was so disheartening if you're a Baylor fan. I have to imagine that's a pretty tough pill to swallow. The other game that jumped out at me immediately was Central Michigan. And Central Michigan is going to boat race Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. That one's opened at 2.5. It's now at 7. I like it up to 10.
Yeah. Miami of Ohio is the phoniest division. Well, they're in the conversation for phoniest division winner. I think Cincinnati at this point probably has to be considered in that category as well. But they're not good. And Hawaii. Hawaii should also be considered in that.
Yeah. I think Hawaii raised their hand as soon as you said that and said, hey, what about us?
So
13.5, Boise State, by the way.
I like that Central Michigan number quite a bit.
But it's
6.5 or whatever. I think it's a perfect tease piece, too. So, which is the same thing I feel about the number now on Utah. If you don't want to give the full 6.5 points,
I'll give it down. I'll give the full 6.5.
I will, too. But now you're talking about all you got to do is get Utah a win. And all you got to do is have Central Michigan win. That's a pretty good combo right there.
Since we're already doing this, any thoughts on App State -6.5 against Lafayette?
I think that number will get up to 7, and if it does, I'll probably touch Louisiana Lafayette a little bit.
Kind of with you on that. And UAB +7.5 against Florida Atlantic, where Lane may be gone.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that number. I kind of want UAB. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. The fact that it went from 7 to 7.5 instantly makes me go, oh, that's not a good feeling.
I had to sweat UAB covering against North Texas this weekend.
Yeah,
so.
That's too bad. neither one of those teams is good.
Yeah, yeah. Although that guy's done a hell of a coaching job at UAB. I mean,
yeah, but that doesn't make them a good team.
No. Well, I mean, it's freaking Conference USA. What do you want?
And the other thing, if you looking at that, speaking of the weather, that Utah-Oregon under 49, I think that it could be a really, really slowed down game. And obviously the concern, and one of my favorite plays this week was Oregon State under, and it wasn't even close. It was under by 20 points. But the concern would be Utah breaking off a bunch of big plays. Oregon's not going to break off a bunch of big plays. That's just not what they do. But that's a number I'll be looking at too.
Yeah, I think I went 4-3 on my pregame pick, so I haven't had a losing week now in over a month, so that's good.
My Friday Saturday was so absurd.
Yeah, I saw you tweet something out about it. It looked like you were on a roll.
I mean, I just couldn't miss, and I ended up being 22-4-1 on Friday and Saturday, plus 31.3 units.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, I was. It's funny. Like, I've been so good on the Big 12 all year. My three misses were all Big 12 games.
I saw you missed on TCU. I knew. Yeah. I was thinking of you when that was going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'm like, really, really. You
West
joking?
Virginia.
And not only that they don't even get to go to a bowl game now. What a choke job that was. And Okie State didn't cover against Oklahoma, and I mean, that was I felt pretty good about that game going in, but the other game I really loved was SMU against Tulane, and that one was easy, and I think I had UAB to cover, and I had the Rice Owls to cover 7 against UTEP because UTEP is awful, and the Owls got a taste of winning clearly. All right, well, we'll do the NFL games the next segment because we kind of. We've done a lot of college football. But the good news is, and we'll get into this deeper in the 6 o'clock hour, but can we all celebrate the fact that we don't have to have the Alabama discussion anymore?
I told you, man, that Alabama was – they were in trouble. It wasn't a given that they were going to beat Auburn.
Well, I said they had to beat them impressively. I think when it came down to the end, that was going to give them the excuse they needed not to put them in no matter what happened.
Yeah, I was glad to see it because this is not as good of an Alabama team as they've had in years past. And you can't just – I mean, listen, if all things are equal, reputation should probably count for something. I don't think all things are equal this year. Alabama's just not as good as they have been. And without Tua, I just can't – I can't imagine that they are one of the four best teams in the country. So
I don't think they are, but that they would have gotten voted in. And
they might have.
I'm glad to see them out of it. And
I think it narrows the discussion down to, I think, to five teams. But, I mean, I guess if you think Utah could lose to Oregon, which I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it narrows it down to six teams. But Georgia has their fate in their own hands.
Yeah.
More than anybody.
They win and they're in the four set. I honestly think that Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU could lose and still get in. There's not enough one-loss teams. I still think they'd slide. Clemson's not losing to Virginia. Let's just start with that. But I do think, despite Dabo Swinney's whining about, oh, nobody respects. Oh, shut up.
Clemson is just dog-stomping people, too. Yeah. And their offense has figured it out at the right time, and no one thinks they're good.
And the thing is, they had to replace a bunch of guys on defense. Well, they did. And those guys got better as the season went on.
Yeah.
And everybody still thinks of that North Carolina game. The reality is, that was their one. Everybody's got one game where they didn't play very well. And some teams lose that game. The only other team that hasn't really had one was Ohio State.
And I'll be honest, you know, everybody was, after the Penn State-Ohio State game, everybody's like, oh, I saw some real flaws in Ohio State, which I didn't. I saw real flaws in Ohio State this weekend. Like, their secondary, it's going to be problematic if they see a team with, like, a real passing attack. LSU could give Ohio State trouble.
Yeah.
Now that I see that. Now, I don't think LSU could stop Ohio State ever. But LSU's offense can give Ohio State some trouble. Clemson can give Ohio State trouble. I think that Ohio State, for the first time all season, looked a little bit vulnerable. Now, you could just say, well, the rivalry game, you know. I get it. But for a team that had looked pretty invincible all year long, they looked beatable.
I think, I don't know. I still think that it's getting late in the season, too. I think they're getting a little bit worn down, as teams often do here. I think they're going to cruise Saturday and then, you know,
they'll have
a month off. And that's the other thing. When these teams get a month off for a month off for practice, especially the younger guys get better, you get healthier. I mean, I think they'll be fine.
I honestly think this year, and, you know, we always talk about, oh, somebody gets left out. I think there are five really good teams left. And I'm sorry, Oklahoma and Baylor. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. If Georgia and Utah both win, it's going to suck for Utah that they get left out, but it's also understandable. If Georgia loses and Utah wins, I think they the system will have gotten it right.
If they put Utah in,
And that's the thing. And
Oklahoma, I hate what they did last week, moving Baylor up as far as they did over a Texas win, because now it's going to make it, oh, Oklahoma beat them and they were. I mean, that's I hate how this is going to happen, but if it does play out where the top three all win, and LSU beats Georgia, I think Utah's in if it's Baylor, but I think Oklahoma's in if they win.
That'll be disappointing.
It would be disappointing, but
Utah's literally done everything they can. Style point, they've covered for like eight games in a row and covered by a good margin.
I agree with you. I think they freaking love Oklahoma just like they do Alabama, and I think they set it up last week by jumping. I mean, how does Baylor move up that far for beating Texas?
And controversial opinion, Tyler Huntley better than Jalen Hurts. Write that down in your notebook.
I don't have my notebook with me.
Write it down. You know what else you can write down in your notebook?
Brook Lennon is awesome.
Yeah, not just awesome, it's the best. And guys, if you are looking for, hey, maybe a gift. Maybe a gift for your lady. Maybe a gift for your parents. Maybe a gift for one of your kids going off to college or something. Brook Lennon are top quality sheets, which is something that I've learned to appreciate over time. My wife has learned to appreciate, without a top quality sheet price tag. That's the amazing thing about Brook Lennon, is you're getting really great value for your money. And these sheets are ridiculously soft. My wife likes them better every time we wash them because they get softer and softer. But I loved them straight out of the box. I love these sheets.
Yeah, me too. And believe me, you can tell the difference. Over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, and they've got the Cyber Monday sale going on right now. So if you like softness, comfort, and essentials to help you relax, Brook Lennon has it all. Brooklinen.com is having their biggest sale ever, and it's happening right now. They're so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get access to their biggest event ever and free shipping is to go to brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com before December 3rd.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Neil Diesel on the Twitch channel asked, who the hell is Utah played?
And who the hell is Oklahoma played?
Yeah, that's the thing. We'll get into that more.
The Big 12 and the Pac-12 are the same conference. There's two good teams and a bunch of... I mean, and whether you think Oregon's a good team, whether you think Baylor's a good team, I'll listen to an argument for both. If you watch these teams with your eyes, Utah, Oregon, Baylor, Oklahoma, there's one that stands out because it's the one that's going out and getting margin, and they've got a borderline elite defense, a borderline elite offense, a great head coach. To me, they're what you're looking for. If Utah was called USC, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
I
think you could make the argument that if Baylor were called Oklahoma, we might not be or Texas, we might not be having this discussion.
I agree,
but that's part of it, and there's no question. And I think that's
so. I'm not saying you're wrong about Oklahoma would get in over Utah. I'm saying Utah is a better football team than Oklahoma, and I would put money on that.
I agree with you. I'm curious what do we say the line would be if it's Utah played Oklahoma on a neutral field?
I can pull it up. I didn't have it on the thing, but I can pull that up right, real quick.
Well, we can come back to that because we want to blitz through the NFL real quick.
Okay.
How about the Bengals getting a win? Andy Dalton returns.
Hey.
So much for the Jets making that late season run there. Not much else to say about that.
Utah game. -1.5.
Okay. So it's close enough, though, that the name of the jersey will make a difference.
Well, the reason, I mean, you could argue the reason it's as close as it is because of the names on the jersey.
Titans 31, Colts 17. We talked about this a little bit in the first hour. I mean, Adam Vinatieri. And the Colts really did. They had this game, and the score looks like they got blown out. They gave up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. One was on the blocked field goal. But it doesn't quite eliminate the Colts from the playoffs because I still think that second wild card is wide open, but it's almost a death blow.
It cripples them.
Yeah. Speaking of...
And by the way, the Titans are legit. I mean, I don't know how they're legit, but they're legit.
Derrick Henry has been a man for him, and Tannehill hasn't screwed up. I mean, he's managed them perfectly. Now, having said that, I'm probably going to take the Raiders this week. Dolphins beat the Eagles 37-31. Great fake on the... great trick play, not really a fake, but... That NFC East winner may be 7-9 when it all's said and done. I mean, neither one of those teams are any good. Packers go and get a snowstorm to play in, but not at home, and beat the Giants 31-13. Steelers, it's duck time.
Oh, yes.
The duck leads the Steelers.
Quack.
20-13 win over the Browns. How silly does it look that Freddie Kitchens was wearing the Pittsburgh starter shirt, and then he goes and gets his ass kicked? If you're going to do that, you got
to
win.
You got to.
Right?
Is Cleveland going to get up for another game this season, or are they dead now?
Technically, they're still alive, but...
Emotionally, they've got to be dead.
I would think so, and I think they're going to have to reevaluate head coach and quarterback in the offseason. Yep. How about the Redskins beating the Panthers? Boy, the Panthers have just fallen to hell. I don't know. And all that, hey, maybe Kyle Allen's our guy thing. Maybe not. 10.5-point favorites, and they lose at home to the Redskins. But that's good news for a team like the Bengals, who still have that top pick.
Yeah.
Because the Redskins and the Dolphins keep winning. It's amazing. The Bucks beat the Jags 28-11. The Jags are done. They brought back Gardner Minshew. It looks like the Nick Foles experience is over.
Boy, that's sudden and... That's pretty costly. If he really is never going to give them anything, that's pretty rough.
So it means they will have failed going for the third pick with Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Failed going the free agent route. And now maybe their sixth-round rookie is going to be their quarterback.
I mean, it could potentially be Brock Osweiler-level bad decision. Yeah. Maybe worse.
Well, in their defense, Nick Foles had a much better track record coming in than Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's and that team was in the playoff hunt. And then he comes back and they fall apart. 49ers-Ravens, game of the day. Ravens win it on the late field goal. Would have been nice if they hadn't had to play that thing in a drizzle. But you know what? I was impressed with both of these teams. They actually both played defense. And yeah, I if that's your Super Bowl preview, not a bad one.
Agreed. That was that's a good game. Good, well coached game. It was a fun game to watch. I think maybe it was made more fun because of the weather.
Maybe so.
Unlike the Giants game.
Yeah. Well, didn't have to watch too much of that. Rams go in and boy, did Jared Goff need this game. They house the Cardinals 34-7. Cardinals have been pretty solid all year. This was not one of those games. Goff 424 yards and two touchdowns.
So I would. Aaron, look up who the Cardinals color commentator is for their radio team. He is ridiculous. And the whole game, I mean, I didn't listen to the whole game, but like what I did listen to, maybe 45 minutes of it, every play he just goes, and he sounds like he's got sort of some sort of voice modulator on because he sounds a little bit like Bill Walton mixed with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, dear.
And he says, wow. Wow. Like after almost every play. And it's one of the weirdest, I guess maybe I've never heard a Cardinals broadcast before, but it was terrible. So I don't know who, I'm assuming he's a former Cardinals player, but it's bad.
So what I'm seeing, the number one name is Ron Wolfe, former fullback who played at St. Louis and Arizona from 85 to 91.
Wow.
I'm sure there's someone who...
Some Cardinals fan probably knows.
They'll let us know. Broncos beat the Chargers 23-20 as we see Phillip Rivers sort of sink into the...
Anthony Lynn sucks.
Yeah.
Why are you playing for a tie there anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, what, four wins? What are you doing? And then...
And technically, they get the 5-7. They're not dead.
It's just an odd choice. He sucks as a coach. I think Rivers is pretty much done with what he's doing there. He wants out.
Yeah,
it turned sour in a hurry there in San Diego, in L.A.
Chiefs 40-9 over the Raiders. I thought the Raiders would put up a little better fight, but boy, Derek Carr had a rough one.
Yeah, they had nothing. That was a blowout, and I thought maybe. We'd see like an inspired performance, knowing that we can win the division if we win this game, and they got their doors blown off.
Yeah, and if you'd have told me the Chiefs were going to score 40 points and Mahomes was going to throw for under 200 yards, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
So, but I think that the Raiders are still technically alive, but
barely.
Yeah.
Only right. Because there's not really a team in the AFC or in the AFC other than the Bills who wants to be the wild card. Apparently, it's just like it's a fight to not be the wild card. I guess maybe the Titans.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to come down to
Titans, Steelers,
Titans or Texans. Whoever doesn't win the division, I think it's probably getting.
Yeah,
because I can't see the Texans losing, winning fewer than 10 games at this point.
Well, if either one of those teams loses both, they're not going to make the playoffs.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Texans win the other two. They're 10-6. They're in.
What's the Steelers record right now?
Steelers are. I think they're. I got to double check, but I think they're two games behind.
Okay.
So, and they're not winning out. I mean,
no, probably not.
Silly.
All right. ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com. Guys, I had a dude in my neighborhood come up and ask me where I got my hoop from, because it's not some rickety ass hoop that you got at Home Depot and put in the ground yourself and it's leaning sideways. Professionals came out and installed it. It's done right. It's got the thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than you're going to find in any of those stores. And their backboard, tempered glass, Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. And they're going to have a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard, wherever you want it set up. They've got a way to do it. And they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet. Dude was like, I saw your kid adjusting it from 10, taking it down where he could play on it. Yeah. Back in our day, you used to have like a broomstick. If you had an adjustable goal, you had to hit it with a broomstick to jack it up. Don't have to do that. Simple. my 7-year-old can take it from 10 feet to 5 feet. Get your new Hoops Gold today. See it all. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. If both teams went out, OU has three top 25 wins. Utah has one. OU has a top 25 defense as well and a top 10 offense.
Okay. You're talking about top 25 wins. What is Baylor's best win, OU's best win besides Baylor?
Well, according to the committee, it's Texas. Because apparently beating Texas is a huge deal.
There are no good wins. And before yesterday, I probably would have said Oklahoma's second best win was Iowa State. And then Iowa State went and lost. There's the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are the same crappy conference. So let's stop talking about who's playing in a tougher conference, because neither one of you are going to win. Both your conferences suck. But let's talk about who's got a better football team, and it's Utah. Utah is a better team than Oklahoma. I firmly believe that.
Hello, Lance.
That's a tough one. I've watched Utah pretty closely, but I'm kind of with you. I just because Oklahoma – see, I don't think a team – my problem with Oklahoma isn't necessarily who they played. It's how they played. I mean
– they're scraping by.
They're scraping by way too many teams, and I don't think they're playing with that level of consistency. Now, you know, the old gun-to-the-head test – I do feel like if Jalen Hurts gets in a big game and Lincoln Riley gets in a big game and CeeDee Lamb gets in a big game and they've got guys who have been there and done that on both sides of the football, I think they probably show up and play, you know, pretty well. I don't think they go full Notre Dame and get embarrassed in a playoff game. I don't know what Utah would do. I love Utah's secondary, love their running back. I mean, he's one of my favorites in all of college football, but I don't know how the quarterback would perform. And
I think Tyler Huntley's better than Jalen Hurts.
I think he's a talented player. I just wonder how you handle that stage. I don't think it's easy. You know, you talk about the Pac-12. When has Utah been on that kind of stage? That's a tough one. And how they handle I think how they end up handling Oregon is going to really tell you who they are.
You remember the last time Jalen Hurts was on a big stage? He got benched at halftime. I'll remind you. He got benched at halftime and lost his job forever.
No, the last time he was on big stage, he actually came in and saved Tua. The next year he did. I mean, he did. The Jalen Hurts stuff to me gets out of control because I do this draft stuff and I love the college quarterback. I don't see him I've had arguments about him as an NFL prospect. You know, I don't see, but I love all the character and the toughness and the leadership and all that stuff. And I think that matters in big game scenarios. My problem is Oklahoma's just not playing like it. They're just not playing like it. And I just don't trust them right now. My feeling is, I argue with John about this morning. I really feel like, you know, Raheel was talking about how he wanted to see all this mass confusion and hysteria and all these losers. I don't. I want to see the best teams play.
I want the four best teams.
I don't want a bunch of nonsense to screw up my playoffs.
Well, that's what I was saying. The whole start of this discussion was, if Georgia beats LSU, I think we're going to have the four best teams, and really the only team I'm going to feel bad for is Utah, but I wouldn't put them in over any of the other four teams.
That would be Georgia. Yeah, I think you're right, except, you know, I think Georgia's definitely a step down from the other three.
If they beat LSU, they certainly aren't.
Well, especially considering you're not going to have your top wide receiver the first half. What's up with Swift? Anything new with DeAndre Swift's injury?
Yeah, nothing new.
You haven't looked good offensively. I mean, I don't even count G Tech.
But that's a legit defense. A legit defense. No, no, George is. Better than anything LSU's seen.
Yes, yes, George is.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to really find something about LSU because they have rolled through literally everybody. And
the only team they didn't roll through was Auburn.
Auburn.
Who's the most similar team to Georgia they've seen.
The Florida game was a lot closer than the final. That's true. Because we both bet them to cover, and they did, but they didn't deserve to.
Who are the two best defensive teams they've seen? Florida and Auburn.
Yeah. Right.
And how'd they do offensively against Florida? I'm trying to remember.
That ended up being a higher scoring game than the Auburn. Because the Auburn game, I want to say, was 24-20. I don't remember.
28-23, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So,
that's about the only team that's really slowed them, to be honest with you. So this Georgia game is going to be
42-28 was the Florida score. But again, that was like a.
That game was really close.
That was not a 14-point game. Yeah. 23-20 was the Auburn.
And I say that as somebody who bet LSU to cover. And
I did too, and I got
13.5 and was very happy to get lucky.
Got really lucky. About as lucky as I got with Notre Dame covering against Stanford this weekend.
For me, I think it's Ohio State, LSU. We talked about this a little bit. I'm Ohio State, LSU, Clemson. I mean, to me, they're in a. I really feel like it's Ohio State, LSU. I know you feel differently. I feel like it's Ohio State, LSU at the top, and then Clemson, and then I'm not really sure at four, but I think it's probably you could throw in Georgia. Usually I just say Georgia, but I think you could throw in Georgia, Utah. You know, does Auburn deserve to be in that conversation at all?
They've lost two. They've lost
three games.
Two, three games now.
Oh, they have three losses?
Yeah, they have three losses.
They lost to LSU. They lost to They lost to Georgia, and who the hell else did they lose to?
I mean, if it's two losses,
Florida. They lost
Florida.
To okay,
Florida.
Yeah, that's too many.
Yeah,
that's too many. Now
you
Utah,
got two losses, you're out of the conversation.
You think two automatically knocks you out?
Yeah, because Georgia's going to have to beat LSU to get in, and unless Utah loses and Oklahoma loses, but I don't see any. I mean, now you're getting into Armageddon.
See, I think Utah. Now, see, I think Utah could lose. Georgia, I think, probably is going to lose. And so then all of a sudden, that's why you are probably having that Oklahoma conversation.
Well, but then you're going to have a crappy-ass one-loss Baylor team in there that just won the Big 12.
If Oklahoma loses.
Yeah.
But if Oklahoma wins, they're in. I don't know that Baylor's – is Baylor automatically in?
See, I don't know if automatically they're in. Because
if Utah loses and Georgia loses – and OU loses.
Is a one loss Baylor better than a two loss Georgia?
Not to me, but
are they better than a two loss Florida?
See, now you know who you're going to bring back into the damn conversation if you keep doing this two loss crap, and I don't want to do it.
No, they've lost two of the last four. No way. And we're talking about Alabama,
and they've got
obviously
a broken quarterback. But
yep.
Yeah, I don't know. But you're right. We do disagree a little bit on where Clemson is, because Clemson's won their last seven games.
I'm just not sure.
40 plus points.
That's all. I'm just not sure.
But you know what? Why aren't you sure? Because of the conference they play in?
No, I don't. You know, so I'm not like that. Most other people say that stuff. I care about how you play, not who you play. You can only do so much against who you play against. I want to know how you do. Did you cover? Did you win? Did you play beyond expectations? You know, when I say cover, I just mean beyond expectations.
Yeah.
Do you play up to expectations or beyond expectations a reasonable percentage of the time or a majority of the time? With them, the answer has been yes. You know, my question is, and this gets to level of competition, I just have a hard time buying into a defense that lost that many starters and that many NFL starters. And I'm going to have to see it against a real team. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I've got to see it, and then I'll believe, and that very well could be the case that I see it. And then who do they play in their playoffs?
Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to be. Yeah.
But just, you know, devil's advocate here. Yeah, they lost those guys to the NFL, but those kids that they have are terrific recruits, and they've gotten better as the season's gone on.
Yeah.
And
not battle-tested like you know, Wilkins and, my gosh, Cleveland Farrell, and you got guys who had a long history of playing some really good teams. But then again, there is no Alabama this year like from the past. Maybe Ohio State is. Maybe Ohio State is. I don't think LSU is, just because they got this phenomenal offense. The defense is playing better, but I have a hard time putting the LSU defense in any kind of a category like these elite teams we've seen in the past. But that's not to diminish what they've done. I think Joe Burrow is going to move the ball on anybody you put in front of them. LSU is too good at skill position.
Getting to your point about outplaying expectations, of all the teams we're talking about, you want to know the record against the spread?
I know. Yeah. Clemson's 9-3.
Utah, Clemson, and Ohio State are all 9-3.
Yeah. And see, and that's, and those are the best keys to, I don't worry as much about your, until it comes down to a championship type of performance or whatever. I don't bang teams for having a lesser schedule if they're really playing exceptionally well.
Well, one of the three that Clemson didn't cover, we know they didn't cover against North Carolina because that's all anyone wants to talk about.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
they didn't cover against A&M. Their third non-cover was a 35-point win against Wofford where they sat everybody halfway through the second quarter.
That's impressive because that's, I don't know what the Wofford game was, but
A&M, 48.5 points was the spread. They beat them by 35.
The A&M game happened when I was up there covering Texas LSU.
That was September 7th.
Real early.
Yeah.
That game, who else? Oh, North Carolina, which was early October, right?
That was late September.
Oh, wow.
Since the North Carolina game, their average margin of victory is over 41
points. I get
points.
So tired of hearing a North Carolina thing over
it's
and over.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's just, at some point, you got to let it go.
It's just, by the way, LSU, Georgia, same record against the spread as Aggie, 7-5.
Okay.
So, I think LSU's schedule offsets that quite a bit.
I was telling Fred, I saw, because I didn't see it in the Ohio State-Penn State game where there were people like, ooh, Ohio State's vulnerable. I was like, no, they had like a three-minute span where they had some luck box turnovers go against them.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn State actually showed life for 3 minutes. But this Michigan game, Ohio State covered, but there were some times when I was like, oh, my God, you can move the ball on that secondary.
So defensively, they did in the first half. You know, Shea Patterson had a lot of success early on in that first half. That second cornerback spot is potentially a position you can't. And that's what LSU does well, is they've got some tough one-on-one guys.
Well, now you start to think about, well, who are the quarterbacks that Ohio State's really played this year?
Yeah.
And then you start to think, oh, well, Trevor Lawrence is better than that guy. Jake Fromm's better than that guy. Joe Burrow's better than that guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tyler Huntley's better than that guy. And suddenly you're like, oh, boy, they might not be invincible.
No, right. No, I think that's...
Because their defenses look great all year long, but, man, they didn't look great against Michigan, I'll tell you that.
Until the second half where they just completely embarrassed Shea Patterson.
Yes. They made adjustments, and kudos to them for that. But are you going to be able? I mean, are you going to be able to come back? Or if you give up 14 points to LSU or to Clemson in the first quarter,
you know, this is really going to be interesting because of all the teams we talked about. There are no North Carolina moments for LSU.
No,
there's no first half where you're like, what about, boy, you thought there a little bit, at least for one half, that Michigan, yada.
I don't know. LSU lost, they beat Auburn by 3 points.
When have they, but when has LSU played from behind? I don't know that they played from behind all year.
Ooh, because they weren't behind Alabama.
I don't think they've been behind against anybody.
I kind of felt like that Auburn game,
I felt like Knicks
they were in control,
that.
But I also felt like they weren't in control of the Florida game, and that wound up being a
they were never
Auburn
behind
scored
against Texas.
Late, by the way, too, to make it to cover, right? What was that number? I think I was on the right side of that with Auburn, but I probably should have.
That game was Auburn was up 3-0 in the first quarter.
Yep.
It was 10-10 at halftime.
Okay.
It was 16-13 going into the fourth, and it was 23-20 at the end. So, I mean, they were back and forth. Auburn did score a touchdown with 2.5 minutes left to cut it to three.
But to Fred's point, I never felt like there was enough offensively. I remember that game well now that I'm thinking about it. Knicks never felt like he was dangerous enough to win that game.
No.
And that's what made the Alabama game so astonishing to me.
Yeah. And then,
but by the same token, I think the Florida game was the one where I thought Florida was out playing them for.
That's the one game you can look at and go, man, LSU got pushed because the game ends up again. Like I said, it ends up being a 14-point game, but late in that game, it was still in doubt, and LSU got some help there at the end and got us to cover, which I was thankful for. My God, but that's the one game where you saw them like actually get pushed, and you know it's one of the Joe Burrow passed for like 290, and it's like oh, well, but 290 for LSU is like a pedestrian day, you know?
Very pedestrian.
So it's I'm interested. This is the first time I've really felt going into the playoffs, and we don't even know who the fourth team is. But if it's Georgia or Utah, either one, I feel like there's not a bad team in this thing. And I don't know that I believe – like, I really like Utah. I don't know – because I really like their coach, I really like their defense, and I really like their quarterback.
But get ready for all the LSU fans to complain. I'm already hearing it because they know that there is a decent chance they're going to have to scrap with Clemson. Like, the difference between one and two
is a big
deal. Nobody
wants Clemson.
Nobody wants Clemson.
Because Clemson could easily be number one, but somebody's going to have to – either LSU or Ohio State is – yeah, it's a bad matchup. Because whoever's the number two seed is probably playing the best team week one.
2-3 – the difference between 1-4 and 2-3 seems fairly substantial to me.
Yeah.
With all due respect to all the teams you've mentioned as potential fours, Utah, Oklahoma, whoever – man, 2-3. I mean, Clemson can't be excited about – well, Clemson's not going to be excited about seeing either Ohio State or LSU. And then LSU is just – they got to be thinking, man, we deserve to be number one. Look at what we've done start to finish. And they have a reasonable point. So does Ohio State.
I mean, Clemson can also say, hey, we haven't lost since 2017.
Yeah, but what about North Carolina?
We haven't lost since 2017.
Well, what about North Carolina, though? You're not taking that into account.
I'm not.
AJ.
I'm not.
Well, and I think depending – on what happens here, LSU, if they do beat Georgia and beat them fairly handily, is going to have a better argument than Ohio State.
I think LSU will probably get moved to number one if they beat Georgia. And then you're setting up Ohio State Clemson in the first round, which is...
LSU is going to jump Ohio State?
I could see that happening because that Georgia win will be significantly better than a Wisconsin win.
If they whack Georgia, it's going to be hard not to.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
But I'm pretty sure Ohio State's going to whack Wisconsin.
Yeah, oh,
so,
yeah.
Now you're talking about LSU might have to whack them to keep up.
Yeah, I'm just not 100% sure that Ohio State's going to get jumped. But we'll see. We'll see. Whoever finishes two is not going
to
like it.
You got time to stick around for one more segment? Yeah. We need to talk to the Texans game with you, and apparently that's a pretty big game.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
What do we got here, Aaron? All right, we'll take us to break.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot. Still on tour.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Lance Erline's still with us. Appreciate you sticking around for another segment because we didn't get a chance to talk about that little football game last night. Wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Great win. A really good win. You know, we were, after the Ravens loss, the whole city of Texans fans were deflated, and I think that you're rightfully just the same old Texans, just another thing. And beat the Colts, but it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any juice. I was in the building. There was no juice in the building. You just kind of got through at that one. And so most of the people I talked to yesterday before the game and even during the game when I was texting back and forth with a couple friends, everyone was waiting for the shoe to drop. Everyone was expecting, well, here comes another embarrassing moment on national television. And then I saw the video of the linebackers coming in and SWAT gear, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be like the Letterman's jackets. You're playing.
You know what?
They've
been doing that all year, though.
Yeah, see, I didn't realize that they – I mean, I saw the ones last week, but I just thought, oh, but this was on – a nationally televised game against the Patriots. Gee, where have I heard that from? And you know what? To their credit, they played great. And we found out a lot about Tom Brady without Rob Gronkowski. We've been finding it out for several years, actually. Every time Gronk's been out, Brady has gone way down. Now he doesn't have him for an entire season. And Bradley Roby did a fantastic job of crowding Julian Edelman throughout the game, and Brady, and they couldn't get the running game going. And I just thought that was the most poised that I've seen Deshaun Watson look in the face of pressure. New England tried to send them some loaded up blitz looks, and Deshaun never really panicked. I mean, he was getting it out quickly. And what I've come to realize is you can tell in the first series which Deshaun you're going to get. It doesn't take long. You see it right away. Just like with the Baltimore Ravens, like, oh, my God.
Usually it's the second series because the first series they've scored 3 points all year.
Yeah, that's true. It's usually the second series. But you see what you're dealing with early on with Deshaun. Is it going to be the guy who holds the ball, which we haven't seen a lot of this year, but we saw him revert to that against the Ravens. We didn't see that with the New England Patriots, and that's the number one defense in the league. So I think yesterday you had a look at the two tight end set being successful. You had all three wide receivers having opportunities. The run game didn't get going, and yet they were okay. They don't have Tytus Howard, and yet they held up at right tackle for the most part. And then probably more impressively is you kept New England reeling offensively with the way that you played. And it is strange to look out on the field, and it's amazing how you get back Lonnie Johnson, who physically is imposing. You get back Bradley Roby, who's your best corner. J.Jo's out there. You got Vernon Hargraves out there. Tayshaun Gibson is back. Justin Reed. I mean, there's some legitimate players in the secondary. There's two legitimate linebackers that you got in the middle. I mean, you don't have J.J. and you don't have Whitney's not doing much. You don't have J.J. There is no Clowney. And yet Jacob Martin is finding ways to pressure the passers. So I don't know. I think this morning we talked about it. I think clearly the Ravens are in their own category right now. But after that, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Texans are the very next category. And the Texans have wins over both those teams.
Where do you throw the Bills in there?
See, John throws them in there. I don't. And the reason is because I don't think Josh Allen is prepared to win games against those other guys.
What I think for them is that they've got they get more out of their talent than they should.
The Bills?
Much like their coach.
Well coached.
Like the Colts, because the coach exceeds the talent, and you can take a bad team and make them mediocre. You can take a mediocre team and make them good. I think the Bills are a mediocre team that's being they look good because they've got a good coach.
Yeah. But at some point talent's got to win out.
Eventually,
and that
it will.
Usually is in the playoffs.
But we've also seen teams like Buffalo that they're good enough defensively. But I'll tell you this about Buffalo. Any team that they can get a lead on, they've got a good chance of beating. If they score the first touchdown of the game, they got a good chance to win.
See, here's my thing. How does Josh – they benefit from playing a schedule similar to the Patriots, and it's a soft schedule. How does Josh Allen had a nightmarish game against New England already at one point? You know, Romeo Crennel is not a slap nuts guy. I mean, he knows how to coordinate a defense and throw pressure at young quarterbacks. I just don't know that Josh Allen would hold up against Ravens, Patriots again, Texans.
He gets a chance against the Ravens next week.
Yeah, we're going to see. I think that's a big measuring stick for that's just another good defense that Lamar Jackson may tear through, and if he does, it's over. The MVP race is completely over.
Well, normally you can run on the Bills. That's the one thing that they are vulnerable. You can run against them, but the Ravens obviously don't have a traditional running. You know, I mean, I guess they do. Mark Ingram can run.
They do. They
but
just
that's not what their offense is.
They're
been
more
this year.
Dangerous when he's a 14 carry back and Lamar Jackson's carrying part of the load.
But I think the Bills can give some teams problems because they're good on defense. They've got a mobile quarterback and a guy who – not only a mobile quarterback, but a guy who can chuck the ball.
Yeah, you know? Always have a shot when you got a mobile quarterback because those are unscheduled yards that you get. Those are unscheduled scores sometimes.
And he's actually turned into – maybe besides Lamar Jackson, he might be the best runner at quarterback in the league.
Oh, he's up there. Now, if I'm rushing Josh, I think you pick and choose how you attack him. You go throw him some A-gap looks so he has to try to escape over the top and outside of the edges. And, you know, sometimes you'll muddle rush him and you force him to beat you from the pocket. So I don't think that Buffalo's in that next category personally.
What are the are the Texans, is this a game you could see them possibly lose focus? The Broncos being a home game after the Patriots. You just played the Colts and the Patriots. You've got at the Titans on deck.
Oh, I mean, this is a classic sandwich game.
Yeah, let down
spot. In handicapping
spot.
Parlance, it is the sandwich game because you are between a critical divisional game. And let's face it. I mean, this is not – the game against the Broncos is not a make-or-break game.
No, it doesn't really matter.
It's really
matter
not.
Much.
Even if you lost, you
control your
you
destiny.
You fret, but you control your own destiny against the Titans. So I could see a little bit of a letdown here. I could. An emotional letdown. And The question is, does the young quarterback, Drew Lock, can he exploit you?
One word answer. Vikings or Seahawks tonight?
I like Seahawks.
All right. That's Lance Erline.
Three words.
Appreciate it. Guys, I have to tell you about Whitmire's Distillery. And if you haven't booked your holiday party yet, guess what? Give them a call because you can do something really unique. Take your company out to Whitmire's. They've got a great bar there. You can see all the great products while you're there. You can try them all, but you can also do a barrel pick with your group, and they'll bottle it for you right there. So you can try several different ones like we did when we were out there. They'll bottle it. You can take it home with you. It's that cool. It is a great, great way to spend a holiday party. Or you can just go take a tour, and you can try all the great stuff they have out there then. The other thing that's new is their rye bourbon blend. That's their new signature whiskey. It is fantastic. If you haven't tried it out yet, go find it at one of your liquor stores. You will love it. They're at 16711 Hollister Street in Houston. That's 16711 Hollister Street. You can book your tour at Whitmire's.com. And, of course, you can get all their great products at Specs, at Fiesta Liquor, all over the city. Check them out. They're Houston's first distillery. They're Houston's best distillery. Whitmire's.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.